Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fastamai, good evening and welcome back to Update on Manx Radio. It's Tuesday the 12th of August and it's 5 o'clock. So let's catch up with the latest news from the Isle of Man. Coming up over the next half hour, the company with hopes to create a wind farm in Manx waters claims the project will generate £2 billion for the Isle of Man. DEFA says plans to achieve net zero have the public support. And we've had a glorious day today on the island, but what's the weather looking like for the Manx Grand Prix? All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and what to watch out for on the roads this evening. Let us know your thoughts. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Simon Richardson. Fastamai, Simon.
Fastamai. A Douglas man will stand trial after denying making and possessing nearly 62,000 indecent images of children. The 46-year-old denied 35 offences, which included making 58 still images and possessing 61,826 still images and 9 moving images during an appearance at Douglas Courthouse. The company planning to create a wind farm in Manx territorial waters claims the project will generate £2 billion for the Isle of Man economy over its 35-year lifespan. Ørsted is hoping to build the 87-turbine Morvannin wind farm 6 to 12 nautical miles off the east coast of the island. More than 300 people used the newest bus service on the island on Saturday, according to the Infrastructure Minister. The 8S launched for the first time over the weekend, with trips from Peel to the south of the island, including Craigneish and the Sound. It's part of the Department of Infrastructure's transport strategy to ensure more connectivity throughout the island. Further afield, a would-be assassin who disguised herself in a niqab as she tried to kill a shopkeeper in Birmingham has been convicted of conspiracy to murder 6 years on from when her gun jammed outside his home. Amy Betrow flew over from the US in 2019. The number of migrants arriving on small boats since Keir Starmer became Prime Minister has ticked over the 50,000 mark. The figure was reached faster under his leadership than his predecessor, Rishi Sunak. And a man and a woman have been arrested on suspicion of murder following the death of a one-year-old girl on the Isle of Wight. Jailer Jean McLaren died in hospital earlier this month. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Gouramayed. Thank you, Simon. Now the latest weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. It's 24 degrees over at the airport currently and continuing fine and dry with sunny intervals and light winds this evening. Clear intervals overnight and temperatures only falling to 15 degrees. Tomorrow will be largely dry, but areas of mist and fog patches will affect southern and central areas at times, with the best of the sunshine in the north. Light to moderate southwest winds and a top temperature of 22 degrees. Continuing generally dry and quite warm through the rest of the week and the weekend. Sunset tonight is at 4 minutes before 9. Sunrise tomorrow morning at 9 minutes before 6.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 40.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
That's right, and the time now coming up to 5 past 5. £2 billion. You've possibly heard that figure a few times today. That's what the company planning to create a wind farm in Manx territorial waters claims the project will generate for the Isle of Man economy over its 35-year lifespan. We're talking about Ørsted, of course. Jamie Baldwin is project director for the Mor Vanin wind farm.
We've reduced down from 100 turbines to 87. In terms of our planning application, that's what we've submitted and that's what we based our planning assessments on. Because we have to be within the Manx territorial waters, we have a boundary, really, an outer boundary of 12 nautical miles from the island, and that's in the northeast coast in the island, where you can already see a number of operational wind farms, and there's quite a lot of future development planned in this bit of the Irish Sea.
35 years, you're saying £2 billion. Where does that figure come from?
Sure, so there's two things really. It's based on Ørsted's expectations and assumptions around the taxation and the seabed rental that we will pay to the Isle of Man government. That is commercial, but that is based on our experience and the discussions we've had so far. It's also, on the second point, it's based on the proposed scale of a wind farm in terms of the capacity, so that's a 1.4 gigawatt wind farm. So it's based on those two aspects, really, and that leads us to around about £2 billion over the operational lifetime of 35 years. That's equivalent to over £50 million a year, every year for 35 years.
And there are still some elements to work out, aren't you? You mentioned about things like the tax regime.
Yeah, that's right. It is based on assumptions around the tax regime. It's based on where we think that will land. It's probably a slightly conservative figure. The seabed rental is within that agreement for lease, so that's more of a fixed. I should also say that £2 billion also includes a commitment to £1.5 million a year for the first 15 years for a community investment fund, and that will be really for organisations on the island to benefit from that, and that's separate from the rent and the tax that will go to the Isle of Man government.
Jamie Baldwin, project director for Ørsted's Mor Vanin wind farm project there. Well, should permission be granted, it's anticipated the wind farm will become operational sometime between 2031 and 2033. There was a lot to discuss with Mr. Baldwin during that interview, and we'll bring you more of it on tomorrow morning's breakfast programme. 7 minutes past five now, plans to achieve net zero have strong resident support, according to the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. It comes in response to calls from a former MHK for a referendum into the island's climate change targets, as Sean Cowper reports.
A government spokesperson has issued a response after former Douglas South representative Paul Quine said he wants to see the public have their say on plans to reach net zero carbon emissions by 2050. The statement says achieving net zero is essential for protecting our environment, securing cleaner and more reliable energy, and creating stronger economic opportunities for the Isle of Man. It goes on to say the impacts of climate change, such as increased flooding and changing weather, are already being felt locally, demonstrating the urgency of action. Our investments, it says, in cleaner energy and home efficiency reduce costs, strengthen the economy, and safeguard our environment. Acting now is more cost-effective and better for future generations than stepping back, demonstrating the island's potential to lead by example. While figures such as £100 million have been cited publicly, the Isle of Man government has not determined an overall cost for this work. It adds that extensive public consultation has found strong support among the Manx public for work to combat climate change. Mr. Quine had called for the referendum to coincide with next year's House of Keys general election.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
9 minutes past five now, an immigration lawyer on the Isle of Man says the government needs to tackle rogue employers. Maria Brighton told Manx Radio that while the extra cost of an immigration health surcharge approved by Timwalt last month might have a negative effect on the number of immigration applications here, the island still remains competitive. She adds the Isle of Man government needs to ensure the island doesn't have exploitative situations here.
For most people, they'll have made a large investment to come here. They might have borrowed money, you know, perhaps sold property or whatever, to be here to start their new life. And the risk to them is that if they have to go back, then all that investment is lost and they may well return in debt or in a worse position than they started. So for many people is to stay in some really difficult situations for the sake of their visa. And some employers know that and they exploit it.
What reforms could government adopt to prevent these types of exploitation?
Compliance and enforcement powers so they can tackle rogue employers. There needs to be joined up working between different departments, and that will allow government to plan better in terms of planning for education and schools. There is a question as to whether or not overall we've got the right balance in terms of our inward migration. I think in the last data set, they issued 191 visas to people earning below £25,000. It's not enough to live on, and those people certainly, particularly if they have dependents, wouldn't be net economic contributors. But yeah, I come across some very distressing circumstances where people are living in overcrowded accommodation, people are struggling for basic necessities in terms of being able to afford food. One concrete example is that I was looking at a bank statement of a migrant who was earning just below £21,000. His daily expenditure was a bus fare to work and a bus fare back. And there was about 40 pence difference between those two bus fares. And he said, well, in the morning, I have to get to work on time. He said, but in the evening, he said, I can get off 4 or 5 stops earlier. And that saves me 40 pence. And then I'll walk the rest of the way home. And I thought that was a terrible, terrible thing to be happening on our island, that a man couldn't afford a bus fare to and from work.
Immigration lawyer Maria Brighton there speaking to Chanel Suku. A new master plan has been created by Douglas Council to support the redevelopment of the leisure facility offering in Pullrose. Chair of the Regeneration and Community Committee, Natalie Byron-Tier, says the new scheme has been produced following consultation with the area's youth groups. As part of the project, the local authority hopes to work with the NSC and create a linear park, which could feature suggestions from the feedback sessions. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to Councillor Byron Tier about the proposals.
So a master plan enables everybody to feed in their ideas for the area, and I'm delighted this time we've also included the community with that. We had some community engagement recently with the fun day that we had up there, and we had some wild ideas. It was great to have children, adults coming out and feeding in what they would like to use spaces for. Obviously, housing is the priority up there. And if we can engage, you mentioned the NSC, if we can engage with local businesses and activities in the area to buy into that and make better use of the space, then it serves the community much better, doesn't it?
How did you consult with residents at the first stage? I know you mentioned their youth groups. Is that something you specifically set out to do?
Community engagement is something that I'm certainly a big ambassador for, and I think that the council has improved that. And now it's reflecting. We've always asked opinions, but we've never openly, publicly gone out like this en masse and done it. And I think that's the way forward. I think we have to start listening to what the communities need, because they know better than most what they need in their areas.
How important has the input from the young people in particular been for the plan and the development of the plan?
From a parks aspect, I can say that it's been really useful, because it's highlighted some of the issues that we need to look at: separate areas for separate age groups, separate abilities. And when we're looking at a master plan like this, we can look, like I say, holistically at all the different areas and see where we can implement them for the different sort of requirements for each age group.
Douglas Councillor Natalie Byron-Tier there speaking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Let's take a look at the roads now then. In Douglas, the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so temporary lights are currently replacing the main lights there. And there's temporary lights as well on Woodburn Road at the Albany Road Junction for bus stop improvement works. Near Foxdale, temporary lights on the shoulder road at South Barul Plantation, 24 hours a day for tree works. And in Colby, the Ballochill Ferrick Road is closed for service access work. And a reminder, the Portown Road is due to close again tomorrow from 9:30 until 3:30 in the afternoon for road stud installation between Peel and St John's. If you're travelling on and off island tonight, clear skies over the airport, so no issues to report there this evening, I'm glad to report. Sailings-wise, Manxman is due to arrive back in Douglas from the Heysham in around half an hour's time. And Mananan left Douglas just before 3 o'clock and should be arriving in Liverpool in around 20 minutes' time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Planes, ferries, now buses, as over 300 people used the newest bus service on the island on Saturday, according to the Infrastructure Minister. On Saturday, the 8S launched with trips from Peel to the south of the island, including, importantly, Craigneish and the Sound. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood says she's hopeful the service would continue to be viable in the winter as well.
We did a lot of promotion around this. It was a much anticipated and lobbied for service, particularly for the southern end. But we know that the people of Foxdale have been wanting better services for years, and they get that now. They've got service buses running past on a regular basis every day of the week. So I'm delighted for everyone.
Presumably you're checking on how many tourists use it and how many regulars, if I can put it that way.
We know from the ticket information, so we know those who've paid, and we know that those who've shown us a pass of so, you know, obviously our pensioners will have a bus pass that they'll have shown us, so that all gets clicked in. So I will get the breakdown for that data. I don't have it at the moment. I just got the headline figure was over 300 on Saturday.
And this is the summer, of course, so you'll be watching what happens during the winter, which is quite important, I suppose.
I think winter services become just as they are just as important for our residents as they are, you know, sort of the rest of the year, and I'm hoping that you know, residents will use it. Certainly, one of my favourite places to be in the winter is to go down the Sound and have a soup and watch the waves crashing down there. So I think, you know, the fact that the cafe has stayed open across winter months is indicative of the fact that there is footfall down there that's worth supporting, and I'm hoping that the bus carries on improving that.
Infrastructure Minister Dr. Michelle Haywood there speaking to John Moss. The time now 17 minutes past five. An Arbury Castletown Malou MHK says the redevelopment of the Balfane roundabout will be an inconvenience to residents, but believes the scheme will minimise the disruption. Tim Glover and Malou Commissioner Mike Norrie think the scheme has been needed for a long time. We'll hear from Mr. Glover in a moment, but first, here's Mr. Norrie.
Well, I think it's good that there seems to be some progress. It's been long awaited, and certainly from a drainage issue, we need to get that sorted. The biggest change to the plan seemed to be the diversions, and that's causing a bit of consternation, I would say, amongst people I've spoken to. And it's really the concerns from the Balfane estate, and also the one way through Ballasalla from the airport, and those coming from the north have to go around Cross Four Ways in Castletown. So whether that can be readjusted or looked at, but at the moment it doesn't look as if there are many options. But I'm sure as commissioners, if anybody wants to give us information, feedback, we can then pick up on that as well. We will be concerned about the Balfane issue.
And how much of an issue has this been for the commissioners and the residents of Ballasalla as well?
Well, I think generally it was how it would affect everybody, and they've been waiting a long time for it, so it does need to happen. It is going to cut the village, not quite in half, but sort of Meadowcourt and Silverburn will be separated.
So I'm here to listen to their opinions and see what we can do to sort things out. We all know the roundabout needs doing. It's going to cause inconvenience to people. It's about minimising that inconvenience. This will keep traffic moving, but it will make traffic go in different directions to where they want to go in the shortest possible way. But this will get the job done quicker than any other scheme. So I'm here to listen. I'm representative of the people. I need to hear their views.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
An evening of music, poetry and community will bring together local musicians, spoken word artists and poets to raise funds and awareness for urgent medical support in Gaza next month. All funds raised by An Evening for Palestine will be directly donated to the non-profit organisation Medical Aid for Palestinians. It's all taking place on the 19th of September at the Laxey Working Men's Institute. Our Howard Kane caught up with organiser and poet Sasha Coyle Carroll to find out more about the motivations behind the event.
I think a lot of people probably feel the same way I do, that there's this huge thing going on in the world. Obviously now a lot of Gaza are facing famine, which is devastating. I think I felt at a bit of a loss at what to do or help to help, and you feel just completely helpless sharing things on social media and not really doing anything else. I went to Phil Matthews, he works for Amnesty. I went to his vigils on a Friday night opposite the Lock Prom every Friday, And I met Devon there, who's a good friend of mine anyway. And we just kind of were like, we just need to do something. So yeah, we've got in touch with Lexi Working Men's Institute, and they were brilliant at coming back. They've actually given us the venue at a discount, which is so lovely. And yeah, I just talked to some of my friends and people I know about putting on some music and some poetry and a raffle, just to do our bit really, because it's so horrific what's going on. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around. And I just, my big thing is I don't want my kids and grandkids to turn around in 20, 30 years and say, why didn't you do more? So this is me trying to do my bit, I guess. And all proceeds are going to go to Medical Aid for Palestine. All the artists have very kindly said they're going to give their time for free. So every single penny is going to go over to them and hopefully make a drop in the ocean of impact, hopefully, anyway. So yeah, if anyone wants to come, 19th of September.
So is it just tickets on the door? How's that working?
So we're putting out a poster. We're just finalising it. And it's going to go out on social media, either on myself and Devon's, and hopefully we're going to share it around. So we will be setting up so people can book online. But depending on how tickets sell, there may be tickets on the door that people can also buy. But we're hoping it'll be a sellout event.
Poet Saoirse Coyle Carroll speaking to Howard there, and you can hear that conversation in full in the latest edition of Spotlight, available now as a podcast. 21 minutes past five now. The first practice for this year's Manx Grand Prix gets underway at the weekend, but as with all road racing, competitors, organisers and fans will be keeping one eye on the weather forecast. Our Ben Hartley, as senior meteorologist, Kirsty Pendlebury, how conditions are looking for the start of the event?
5 days away now from the start of this year's Manx Grand Prix, the first practice session on Sunday. So inevitably, I had to ask you about this morning. So, you know, looking into the crystal ball, how are we looking as motorsport returns to the island in the second half of the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment it's looking okay. I'm always a bit hesitant because obviously it's still quite a few days away at the moment. But certainly through the rest of this week and through the weekend, it's looking mostly dry. So looking reasonable for Sunday and the start of them, the sessions. And at the moment into the beginning of the next week, not looking too bad as well. After that, it gets a bit more uncertain. So it's one of those ones we're going to just have to keep an eye on and just keep watching. Obviously, we saw what happened with TT. There is promise of high pressure for quite a lot of TT. And it kind of just dissipated on us a little bit, didn't it? So, yeah, it's always a bit of a tricky one, one to keep an eye on, I think.
Kirsty Pendlebury there, senior Met officer, let's go with that. Now, after defeat last weekend, FC Isle of Man must dust themselves down quickly as they travel to face Earlham in the NWCFL Premier Division tonight. Last Saturday's home loss to Glossop North End made it 3 games without a win to start the season. But FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones is confident in the quantity of the squad he'll be taking to tonight's clash.
As a coaching staff, we meet every Sunday night and have a conversation. So we all watch the game back and identified where we did quite well and also like where we obviously need to improve, which is year one, scoring goals and taking the chances that we create and also keep working hard to be really, really difficult to play against. And I think we did that in large parts on Saturday, but we can always improve on that area. And we've got a different squad travelling with us due to availability tonight. And, you know, we need to reinforce those messages, really.
You did mention at the weekend that you did see some positive despite the defeat. So what do you need to put together to turn something positive into a result?
Just keep believing in what we're doing in ourselves, which we do. There's a really good atmosphere in the group. We know it's very early in the season. We also know that there's circumstances that mean that maybe we're not going to be absolutely flying at the moment. So it's just kind of really working on our plan and making sure we stick to what we're asking the players to do in and out of possession and just keep reinforcing those messages. And there were lots of positives about Saturday, results aside, and those players that came in, hopefully we can give them a platform to go and improve from there. And the players that have been around a little bit longer really need to drag us forward, really. This season there's been quite a lot of change, more so than definitely last season. So, you know, we also need to be kind to ourselves and patient with ourselves to a certain extent.
Your opponents, Earlham, were one of the stronger teams last season as well. So what kind of challenge are you expecting from them tonight?
Yeah, really tough one. You know, the last couple of games, they've scored lots of goals. They're a real attacking threat with the players that they've got. Not loads of changes from last season's squad. So we've got a little bit of an idea what to expect. It'll be a tough game. It's not an easy place to go. We've got a really good group. I wasn't sure exactly who we'd have tonight when I spoke to you on Saturday, but we've got a really strong squad tonight, and I'm expecting them to go and perform against the tough Earlham side.
FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones there speaking to Rob Pritchard. Quality over quantity, I always say, Rob. I don't know about you. Are you looking forward to MGP?
I'd say so, yes. And obviously we've got this expanded 12-day schedule coming up now as well, haven't we? We're going to see the Manx Grand Prix running parallel to the Classic TT as well. Classic TT, first time back for that in 6 years. So hopefully plenty of action in store for those who are going to be watching.
And fingers crossed for the weather. You have the rest of the sporting news for us, don't you?
I do indeed. So first of all, Isle of Man snooker player Daryl Hill's campaign at the World Games in China for 2025 has come to a close. The Island competitor suffered a two-frame defeat to fellow Great Britain player Zach Kosker. As a result, Hill finishes the group stage behind Kosker only on frame difference in Group C, meaning Kosker and India's Sourav Qatari progress to the knockout phase. Well, despite the elimination, Hill did get a 2-1 win on the board against Qatari earlier in the tournament. Isle of Man Billiards and Snooker Association says it's sure Daryl will look back on the event as another amazing experience. In golf, Robert Noone has been crowned winner of the 2025 Willie Kirkpatrick Trophy. The 2025 Island Games silver medalist took top spot with a 5-shot margin from Daryl Collister in second, with Paul McMullen completing the top three in third. It's actually the first time Noone has claimed this particular piece of silverware, having previously won the Isle of Man Championship 3 times in a row between 2022 and 2024. Elsewhere, the overall net competition was topped by Jeff Skillicorn, whilst Keith Ward was followed in second, with third spot going the way of Paul McMullen. Isle of Man Golf Union is thanking the event's hosts, Peel Golf Club, for their efforts during the tournament. And in cricket, a commanding performance from Peel and St John's has seen the club win this year's Tinker Cup. The Westerners beat Castletown by 8 wickets in the final held at King William's College on Sunday. Well, after winning the toss and choosing to field first, Peel and St John's restricted Castletown to 146 all out after 38.5 overs. In response, the Western side were able to overhaul that in 25 overs and dropping only 2 wickets in the process, and standout batting displays from the likes of Eddie Beard and Phil Littlejohns. Well, this latest success is Peel and St John's second trophy in 2 weeks after also securing the Karen Weekend League Trophy at the start of the month. Elsewhere, at the weekend, the final of the 2025 Blinko Cup took place, with Crosby Seconds clinching the title with a win on the last ball in a thrilling contest against Peel and St John's Seconds.
Rob Pritchard, Guramayad. That's it for Update tonight. Manxman coming into Douglas Port as we speak, and Dave Moore is here next with his Island Life, all about the comeovers. And Chris Kinley will be along at 6 with Greatest Hits. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. Have a great evening. In the meantime, Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.